Hello, Health Investor. Welcome to another episode of the Health Investment Podcast. Today, you're going to hear from Susie Sung. Susie is an advocate for self-development and a true believer in following your dreams, even if they scare you, which is why she has created her self-help books to help you along your journey. She's had firsthand experience of the power of working on yourself and how it can really change your life. At the beginning of her own journey, Susie found she would struggle a lot with staying motivated and believing things would get better. And when she turned to self-help books or positive Instagram pages, she felt that there was either too much jargon or not enough information to give her the comfort she needed. In the episode, Susie shares everything you need to know about staying consistent. If you're liking this podcast, I'd be so grateful if you'd write a review and share it with a friend. Enjoy the episode. I'm Brooke Simonson, certified nutrition coach and your host of the Health Investment Podcast. If you're ready to look and feel your best without any confusion, frustration, or stress, you're in the right place. Each week, I interview experts and share no-nonsense, research-backed tips so that you can finally lose weight for good, eat healthy long-term, have the high energy you crave, and feel like a million bucks. I'm so happy you're here with me today. Don't forget to hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Hi, Susie. Thank you so much for joining me all the way from the UK on the Health Investment Podcast.
Thank you so much, Brooke. I'm so happy to be here.
It's really fun, I think, podcasting to connect with people all over the world. Technology can be a blessing and a curse, right? It's not always the best, but sometimes it's awesome, like in situations like this.
Oh, absolutely. I think you just need to take the good with the bad, or take the bad with the good, I should say.
100%. Focus on the good mostly. Exactly. Try to ignore the bad. Exactly. I am so excited to talk to you. As we were just talking a bit off air, have a way of simplifying topics. And the topic we're going to dive into today is consistency. I know at various points in my life, I have struggled with consistency. I honestly don't know a single person who hasn't. I think almost just if you're human, consistency is something that you struggle with always, if not, or sometimes, if not always, in different areas of your life. So really can't wait to dive in and hear all of your thoughts on this topic. What led you to write your book, The Consistency Formula?
So as I was saying off air, I kind of stumbled on this idea, or I came to a realization that I was consistent and I actually had a formula that worked for me and that I could share this with other people. And it all came about after I wrote my first book. It was something that all my life I've struggled with consistency, and I've always had these great ideas, like I'm sure a lot of people have. I set a goal, I start it out, and then it never ever comes to anything. I give up along the way, or you know, like something happens and then I end up not finishing or reaching that goal. And I got this idea to write a book a few years ago, and throughout the process I really wanted to do it and I knew I was going to do it, but throughout that process it took me about 6 months, maybe a bit longer than that, to write. The self-doubt, the I'm gonna give up on this, the I can't do this, was so overwhelming that there was times where I almost didn't do it. So after I wrote the first book, published it, had a few people read it, message me, it gave me that confidence to then write another one. Then after that one, I self-published that one, went out, had a few people read it, message back. It kind of validated that what I was doing was okay. Like people actually liked it, because a big thing for me when I was writing the very first one was, no one's going to read this. Who am I? I never went to university. I'm not intelligent. I am a nobody. No one's going to care about what I have to say. So once that validation came in and the third book came out, which was about affirmations, I was on a walk one day during lovely COVID lockdown. And this realization just came into my head that I was able to stay consistent 3 times running. And I completed something for the very first time in my life, I completed something. And yeah, I just realized I had the formula for it. I understood what worked for me and how to be consistent. And as we go further into this, I'll dive into a little bit of the subconscious mind and how it's not, consistency is not something that you're born with. And I think a lot of the time we convince ourselves that we're not the type of people who can be consistent. And that then allows us to give up on the things that we actually really, really want.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, I try to kind of tell you why that's not the case, but also give you a way to change it.
It's such a good point that we look at other people who are having success and maybe think, oh, they were just born that way. They're just consistent. It's like their hair color. It's just a part of who they are. And that's not a characteristic I was born with. Therefore, I can't do that thing. Is that, do you find that's the thought process in a lot of people's minds, that you either have it or you don't?
Oh, absolutely. How many times have you even maybe said to someone, oh, I love that. That's amazing that you do that. And then they go, oh, you should try. And you go, no, I'm not as good as you. Or, mm-hmm. you know, I never learned this before. I've never. And it's just all what I like to call ego excuses. And it sounds harsh, but it's not. It's just like how we allow ourselves to deal with the fact that we're going to give up on something, or how we tell ourselves that we're not capable of doing something when really we are, because it's actually more work to push ahead and try and do something new. We don't like change in human nature. We just don't like to change. When you're comfortable where you are, why would you want to go anywhere else? But the problem with that is that you never ever get to anywhere new. You're all stuck.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of another task that requires more consistency either than writing a book. I mean, I think, so how many people out there have ideas and think, oh, I could do this, but the amount of consistency required to write a book is like the nth degree. So congratulations to you for writing so many. I mean, that's such a huge feat. You know, I've read all the tricks that authors do of, you know, you just have to sit down 10 minutes a day or whatever and write. I mean, I'm sure that was a difficult process, but how cool that you accomplished it multiple times.
Well, thank you. It's like anything you do, though, the more you do, it's like practice makes perfect, the easier it will get. And I am by no means like, there's so many phenomenal authors out there, but the way that I like to write and the kind of message I want to send, I know how to do it now for me, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Just before we get started, mm-hmm. why is consistency crucial for achieving success? Why is this something that we should talk about, that we should learn more about and work to become proficient at in our own lives?
Well, I think we kind of covered it a wee bit, is that if anything that you want in life is going to take a bit of commitment, and you know, a day's commitment isn't going to really bring back results. I think with anything that you do, it's trial and error. We're going to make mistakes, and consistency is about still pushing ahead through those mistakes and not giving up. I think if anyone could learn just a little bit more of that, they could achieve whatever they wanted. It's just a case of keeping that focus and not allowing outside factors or internal negative thoughts get in the way.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the internal thoughts that tend to prevent somebody from staying consistent?
Oh, well, there's so many, but the common ones and the ones that I cover in my book, which I like to call ego excuses, are they're there to protect you, essentially. They're your subconscious mind protecting yourself from rejection, I guess. So I can't do it. I don't have time. This is too hard. This is not what I thought. There's so many different things we can tell ourselves. But yeah, I'm not good enough tends to be the most common one.
Mm.
That is everybody's got a part of insecurity within themselves, and a way that our mind tries to protect ourselves from being emotionally hurt is by telling us something else, is by not allowing us to do something that new or something different because there is a risk there that we'll become disappointed, we'll become hurt. And as a result, it stops you from doing anything. So yeah, I think that's the main one, is I'm not good enough.
Is it important to tackle those internal thoughts first before even attempting something? And if so, how do you do that? I mean, I think mindset shifts are one of the hardest things we can make.
I think so. The bad news is that I don't think it's something you can just tackle and then kind of push behind you. I think it's always ongoing. So I guess to answer that question, no, I wouldn't say it's something that you have to kind of fix, for lack of a better term. But it's something that you can consciously make an effort to begin to change. So in the book, one of the main things is setting a goal and having a clear goal. If you have that goal there and you have something that you know you're working towards, that directs your focus somewhere. And that can help you to kind of push through or even deal with whatever challenges come your way emotionally. You know, if you don't think you're good enough to do something and you don't have that main goal there that you know you really want, and if you don't remind yourself that this is what I want because I believe this is going to bring me happiness or make me happy or get me to a goal or get me to the person that I want to be. If you don't remind yourself of that, then it's very, very easy to just give up. So, and I feel like when you have that there, it gives you the strength to deal with the emotions that come with it.
So it's kind of your compass, like your true north. You have to have a goal so you have some direction you're heading towards. Otherwise, you know, we're still in the new year as we're recording this. It's the first day of February. So a lot of New Year's resolutions, people will say something like, oh, I need to get healthy this year. Is that enough of a goal? Or are you saying, let's set a specific goal, let's put a time frame on it? How do you set a goal that you actually work towards versus one that's kind of just wishy-washy in the back of your mind?
Great question. That leads you to the other part of the formula, which is to plan. So having the goal is fine. If it's I want to be healthier, I think to go a little bit further is to think, how do I want to look? How do I want to feel? If, you know, if it is weight loss, if you have a goal weight in mind, if you have that more specific thing to work to, when it comes to planning how you're going to actually incorporate this into your life, it's going to be a lot easier. That's another thing that people tend to forget about, is when they are trying to do something new, like completely new, and change a big part of their lives, they don't think about how that's actually going to affect their current reality. And as a result of that, when they try to start the journey and they think, oh, this is harder than I thought, I don't have time to do this, or, you know, this is impacting a lot of things, when they're not prepared for that, that's when it's very easy to give up. Well, that was too hard for me. You know, I had work commitments or I had to do this. Whereas if you plan and you think, right, when do I have time to prep my meals or do a food shop or do a workout, and what is actually going to realistically fit into my lifestyle to allow me to make this change, that's also going to help drive you.
Is it helpful also when you're coming up with that plan to anticipate challenges and what you'll do when those come up, and think, you know, when this challenge happens versus if it happens? Because we're all going to have challenges on the journey. I think one of the biggest mental hangups I see in clients with coaching is getting really surprised when something catches them off guard. Like a kid gets sick and has to stay home from school for 3 days, and then they can't do their meal planning and they can't go for their walks, and they just feel completely thrown off and like, okay, now I knew this always happens. You know, I always get started and I hit the ground running and I'm doing well, and then something happens and it throws me off track. And they don't kind of realize that that's a normal thing, that everybody has those challenges, and that the trick is just to get right back at it as soon as you can, versus just saying, well, I knew this was going to happen, and then giving up.
Yeah, you kind of, yeah, absolutely. As you were saying that there, I was kind of putting it all together. I think there's two different ways you can look at it. You can't always plan for everything. You can't predict everything that's going to happen. And if you were to even sit down and think, right, all these challenges are going to come up, there's a really good chance you're going to be like, actually, I'm good, thank you. I'm not going to do this at all. So kind of yes and no. For me, I'm a cross that bridge if and when girl. So I try not to think about it unless I'm actually at that point where I need to deal with it. But the other really good point you made there was that with consistency, you don't have to be perfect. It's not about being perfect. So you have a few days where you were kind of off track. You've not managed to meal prep today or tomorrow. But as soon as you get that time back, that's when you get back on it. And then when you find the time, you meal prep then. Or you maybe change and adapt how much you do. Maybe instead of doing an hour's workout, you do a 30-minute one. Or, you know, you have a salad for lunch. Or you choose something a bit healthier, even though it wasn't something that you brought in from the house. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things you can do to kind of deal with that. But I think the most important thing is to be kind to yourself when that happens. But also, again, keep that goal in mind and keep your focus and think, right, I've had an off day. We all have them. People call them cheat days now, whatever you want to call them. I think that's a thing as well. But if you have an off day, and I've had them, even with them trying to eat healthy and just in general, maybe lose a bit of weight. I've had days where I've been like, I want a chocolate bar, and one chocolate bar turns into like three chocolate bars, a couple of crisps, and then I'm like, okay, that's it. I might as well just end it for the week. But you can get into the habit of thinking, well, no, I've had a bad day, but I'm going to let that go. I'm going to leave that behind me, and I'm just going to start again. You know how to start. You've already done it once, so it's just a case of starting again. And if you can get over the disappointment of not being perfect at it the first time, then it's going to keep you going. It's going to push you forward, and you're going to get so used to things like that happening that it's going to be no big deal. And you'll know yourself with clients who, you know, everyone's very up and down, but over the course of a longer period of time, they still achieve phenomenal results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to take a quick break from the episode to tell you about a company I've been impressed by for years. Thrive Market is an online shopping platform that offers thousands of products at 25 to 50% off retail prices. For just $60 a year, you get access to a wide variety of premium pantry staples, supplements, beauty products, and home goods at unbeatable prices. To put things in perspective, I save about $20 to $30 per shipment, which means my annual membership fee pays for itself after just two orders. My favorite part about Thrive Market is that for every paid membership, they donate a membership to a low-income family, veteran, or teacher. So not only do you save money on your purchases, but you also make healthy products accessible to everyone. To read my full Thrive Market review, steal my shopping list of over 150 items, and save additional money on your first order, visit thehealthinvestment.com/Thrive Market or just click through the link in the show notes. Now, back to the episode.
I think letting go of the perfectionism mindset is absolutely huge, like essential, you know, but I think if we're talking about nutrition, weight loss, health, a lot of diets tell you you have to be perfect. There's even into some of them, I know I did Whole30 at one point, which isn't, you know, they say it's not a diet, it's not for weight loss. Are you familiar with Whole30?
Personally, no.
Yeah, no, it's probably for the best. It's basically for 30 days. I mean, you don't eat any sugar, you cut back on processed, you don't eat any processed foods, really no alcohol. It's just, it's kind of this very strict set of rules, and you're supposed to do it very strictly for 30 days. And one of the rules in it is if you mess up, you have to start over. And so I remember when I was doing it, I also, it was some January, you know, we all do things, or maybe it was January. Yeah. And I had a cold at the time. And the third day in, I was eating, you know, cough drops for my cough in my throat. And then I had this light bulb moment of like, oh my gosh, these have sugar. And I've just ruined it. Like, I'm on day three, but I have to go back and start over again. And then the next thought was like, this is ridiculous. Like, what? Like, I had a few cough drops because I'm sick. I didn't ruin anything, you know, so I kind of made my own rules at that point that I didn't have to be as perfect as the plan wanted me to be. But that's just one example. I think there are so many out there where you're supposed to be either on or off. And there's not this nuance you just described in the middle where some days are better than others. And some days you can give it 80% and other days you're at 20%. And that's completely normal. And what you do over time adds up to great results, even if you're not perfect. I think that's such a critical point to understand.
Absolutely. Like, let me tell you, if you know, me writing this book, it wasn't easy. I'm not going to lie. It was in ways because I've done a few before, but the process isn't, it's not like in the movies where everything all works out. It's not, you know, you have your days where, well, I had days where I would cry to my friends or cry to myself and I would just, you know, I couldn't do anything. And then I'd be really on it other days. You just need to take those good days with the bad days as well. You know, if you're having a great day, amazing. Keep that energy for as long as you can. But if it fades and you know, something bad happens and you just need something else to comfort you, whether that be the right or wrong thing, if it comforts you, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not here to be perfect. We're here to experience and we're here to learn different things. But you're never going to learn if you give up every time you don't get a perfect score.
Mm-hmm. What role do motivation and willpower play in consistency? Because I hear from clients a lot, I felt really motivated at the start and now I've lost motivation, or, you know, I have horrible willpower. Are those things we should be thinking about when we're trying to stay consistent, or are those, do those kind of backfire? Are there other things we should focus on instead?
I think with motivation, feeling that motivation, I mean, anything's going to feel really fun and exciting to begin with, right? You've got your new gym stuff, you've got all your fridge nicely prepped with food, and the first time you do it, you're like, yes, I'm going to do something great, and you're focused on that end result. But then the reality sets in and you're like, you realize, oh, I'm going to have to keep doing this. I'm going to have to keep doing this like every single week. This isn't just I do it 1 week and then boom, I'm like, I've lost all this weight and I'm looking amazing and it was just that easy. And I think if rather than focus on how motivated you are, because everyone's motivation is going to go up and down. It's never the same. Never. Mm-hmm. You're going to have days where you have more energy, so you will feel more motivated, or days where you just want to like hang out with your friends and you don't want to do anything, and that's okay. But I think if you can just set yourself a realistic goal, or not even set yourself a realistic goal, but give yourself a realistic idea of what the journey is going to be like, so that if you have days where you don't feel like you've done so good, you'll let them pass and you won't let them essentially stop you in your tracks and let you give up. I don't know if, you know, you've maybe had clients fall away from it and it's maybe been a case of, oh, well, I've had a bad day. I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to give up. Mm-hmm. It's the fear. It's the fear of, we also have a really big fear of failure. And that fear of failure keeps you so stuck, because mm-hmm. it's much easier to give up on something than it is to try something and then fail at it. So if you can convince yourself, I'm happy with my weight. I really am. And I'm happy that I don't mind if I'm that unhealthy. There's other people who are more unhealthy than me. If you convince yourself of all these excuses, which is essentially what they are, internal excuses, then you're never going to get what you really want. The reason people come to you is because they have a goal, because there's something they desire. But that desire isn't enough. You need a bit more, and you need that realistic idea of what things are going to be like and how that journey is going to be or go.
What role does accountability play in terms of maintaining consistency? And when I'm thinking accountability, I'm thinking external, but also internal. I don't know if that's the right word. You know, you can be accountable to somebody else, or I know like my Google Calendar helps me stay accountable. You know, there's different ways of looking at accountability. It's not necessarily that you have to hire a coach. That's one choice. But what are some ways that accountability helps you stay consistent, and maybe some creative ways you've found to help yourself stay accountable throughout the process?
So for internal accountability, and again, I cover this in here, it's about recognizing that when you feel that desire to give up on something or to just give up on a health coach, ask yourself why. Why am I thinking this? Is it because it's really what I want to do, or is it because I'm afraid or I don't like this hard work? Because 9 times out of 10, it's usually the second one. And when you can recognize that, that's when you'll start to change that belief. We all have these deep core beliefs about ourselves. And it's the same with when it comes to weight loss. They say that a lot of people who were maybe obese or severely obese, when they lose a lot of weight, they end up gaining it all back in a year or two. And it's because they've changed externally, but they haven't changed how they feel on the inside. And I think that's a really important thing as well, is when you can begin to change what you believe inside, is what your mind is constantly playing to you. I am not good enough. I am overweight. I am unhealthy. If it's always playing that and you don't consciously try and change it, then nothing's ever going to change. And I think externally, it's what works well for you. Some people like someone to shout at them and tell them to get up off their arse and go do something. Other people needs a bit more nurturing. It's understanding yourself enough to know what you need and what works for you.
Yeah, for sure. I often talk with clients about, instead of motivation, think more about commitment and your discipline. I heard a great analogy one time that has stuck with me where somebody said, I don't feel motivated to do laundry and fold clothes and put them away. I don't feel motivated to wash dishes, but I have a commitment to clean clothes and a commitment to a clean kitchen. So I do these daily tasks that I don't necessarily want to do out of commitment rather than motivation. And if you think about that, for household chores, it makes a lot of sense. I don't think the majority of us want to do a lot of the things that we do day in, day out around the house, but we just do them. And so if you start to apply that to other areas of your life, whether it's, you're writing a book, you're trying to get more movement throughout the day and go out, go for more walks, when you realize, I don't feel motivated to do this or I don't want to do this today, you realize, like, that's okay. I'm just going to do it anyway because I've made this commitment and I'm going to kind of push through that feeling of not wanting to do it and instead stay focused on my commitment to this bigger thing.
I love that actually. That's the first time I've heard something
Isn't
put
it? I wish I remembered where I heard it.
like that. Yeah. No, it's great. And here's the thing. If you book a class at the gym and you've passed that point where you can cancel it without being charged, then you're going to the gym, right? Because you've made that commitment. Or if you've made plans with a friend and they've had to travel really far, you're going to do it. Work is a commitment in itself. We show up for work most of the time, and that's for someone else's goal. So, yeah, I think that makes sense. If you can commit yourself to the things that you desire for you that are going to enrich you and make you feel great, then there's more chance that you'll get there. I love that. I really love
It's
that.
I yeah, another example they said is, you don't always feel motivated to stop what you're doing and go pick up your kid from school, but you're committed to your kid's safety and you love your kid, so you're gonna do that. So there's like these other ways in our life that we don't think, I'm only gonna do this thing if I feel motivated. And yeah, that's always stuck with me. But for myself, even knowing that, having some type, like I think signing up for classes, I hear this from clients all the time. That's such a good accountability measure of, I'm going to get charged $20 if I don't go. I mean, that
Money
in
is a
and of
very good
itself, yeah,
motivator.
money is very helpful to help you stick with your commitments. For me, I mentioned my Google Calendar. I tell my clients, like, I'm no different from you. When I hit the end of the day, I'm tired. I would love to collapse on the couch and look at social media or watch a TV show, but I actually schedule into my calendar at the end of the day, it says walk, and then some days it says workout. And so today is one of those days when I know I'm going to go for a walk and then I'm going to do this strength training workout. but I see it all day long in there. So it kind of primes me for it and it helps me plan for it. Versus if it wasn't in my calendar and I was just like, oh yeah, I really need to go for a walk today and work out today, I'm 10 times more likely to be like, meh, you know, I don't have time for that, or I'm too tired. But it's something about, you know, we schedule everything else in our lives. So something about scheduling it and seeing it, and almost it's kind of like one of my meetings of the day, it really helps me. And so I think it's just also, is it just, I will ask you, like, kind of figuring out systems that work for you in terms of how am I going to make this whole process easier for myself, stay accountable, whatever.
Outside of hosting this podcast, I work as a nutrition coach specializing in evidence-based sustainable weight loss. If you're ready to stop yo-yo dieting and start living a healthy, active lifestyle you're proud of, I'd love to work with you in one of my programs. Unlike restrictive, one-size-fits-all diets that only provide short-term results, I help you adopt science-backed nutrition and lifestyle habits that work for your unique likes, dislikes, and time constraints so you can lose weight permanently, have high energy throughout the day, feel completely in control of cravings, and stay consistent long-term. To learn more, visit thehealthinvestment.com or follow me on Instagram and TikTok at The Health Investment.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's so different in how they do things and what works for them. I love the way you do it. So again, the consistency formula, I start off with the first week, a kind of 1 week plan. And it's about getting everything together, getting your new gym gear or books that you need, equipment that you need. And then we move on to kind of preparing to start. Because I think if you prepare to start, then you can't kind of stumble in the first week or two, because sometimes that's the hardest sort of week to get through. To-do lists, I'm very big on. And I think that writing a to-do list the night before is also a really great way to set that intention. And scoring out, there's something really satisfying about scoring out the things that you've done for the day. So I think that's a really great way to do it. Another thing which I cover in my book is that if you can delay the gratification. So absolutely, if you want to scroll on social media, that is great. But set yourself a goal. I will get to scroll on social media after I've done the dishes, put the washing away, done a workout. When you do that, when you sit down to watch your movie or scroll or do whatever it is to relax, it's so much more enjoyable because you know that you've had such a productive day. Have you ever had, I'm sure we all have them, those really productive days where you get all your life admin, which is like the most boring thing in the world. You get all that done. You maybe go do a food shop, clean, and everything feels nice and tidy. And then you sit down to a cup of tea, a biscuit, light a candle, and you think, oh, that felt great.
Mm-hmm.
It's that feeling. If you can focus on that feeling and do things that will get you there, it'll help you to not just want to go straight to that feeling, to sitting down and doing nothing, because it's so much richer when you've done everything else that's needed to be done, because then you can truly relax. Because if you don't do that workout or if you don't put the washing away, when you're sitting there scrolling, you're just procrastinating and you're not really enjoying the moment, because you know at some point you're going to have to get up and do something.
Right. So it's weighing on you, like, I didn't do what I told myself I was going to do today. You know, that doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't. So find the best ways to feel good. And that is going to give you a bit more motivation as well.
Yeah, I love that. I've heard somebody say it's kind of like win the day. Like if you were to make a to-do list, what would you need to do tomorrow to kind of feel like you won the day at the end of the day? And then if you do cross all those things off, it is such a better feeling at night when you light the candle and cozy up on your couch of like, wow, this is so well deserved. You know, I won this day. I did all my things, versus like, oh God, here I am again, like relaxing, relaxing with the dishes and the clothes and everything everywhere. Absolutely. Yeah. Are you familiar with James Clear? He wrote Atomic Habits.
I had the audiobook to that. I listened to that on a walk a long time ago, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And he talks a lot about delayed gratification. So I'm glad you brought that up. He says basically mastering the art of delayed gratification is one of the ways that you can just be most successful in life in all areas.
Yeah. If,
especially it's hard to do in this immediate society when everything gets delivered in 24 hours to 48 hours. And it's like practicing putting off the things we want to do can be hard.
Absolutely. But the good thing about it is if you can continue to do it, you something that you're trying to do and delaying then becomes a habit and then becomes second nature. And it's something simple as making your bed. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, even up to my 20s, I never made my bed. And there's nothing feels greater than getting into a made bed. Mm-hmm. And I never did it. And it's something that I began to do. And now it's second nature. I don't even think about it when I do it. It's like learning to drive. You know, when you first started to learn, you had so many different things to think about and you really had to try. But now it's second nature. You can literally jump in a car and go without thinking, I need to put the clutch down, or how do I change gear, or feed the wheel, or do whatever. And it's the same when you start to consistently do something and change or do your workouts every day. The more you do it, it just becomes second nature because you've been able to incorporate it into your everyday life, that it doesn't become something major. It just becomes another task.
I think that's such a good point, because often there is a learning curve at the start and something does feel harder when you first start doing it. And then you can have this thought of, oh my gosh, is it going to feel this hard forever? I don't think I want to do this if it's going to be this hard. But if you just remind yourself, whatever you're working towards will get easier, just like everything else in life that you've learned, any other skill that you've practiced, it absolutely will get easier, but you have to stay consistent long enough to get to that spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good thing is that the more you're able to do that with anything, not even just with health, but anything in life, the easier everything gets, because you'll realize, starting a new job, the amount of times I've started a new job and I've thought, I cannot do this. How am I ever going to learn this? And then 6 months in, I'm doing it with my eyes shut.
Yeah.
And then I start a different job, got something completely new. I'm like, I'm never going to be able to do this. And each time that happens, it got less and less, to the point where when I start a new job now, I'm like, okay, this is hard, but you know what? I will learn and I'll get there and it's going to be fine. And it's only because of the amount of times that I've done it previously. And I've known every time I've done that, it's actually been okay. So I know this is going to be okay. And it's the same with any other habits that you're trying to create, or any, you know, when you're trying to change your body and change your healthy, like your eating habits. Everything gets easier because your belief changes, your belief about you. When I first wrote my very first book, I was like, I'm not an author. I can't write. And even up to the third book that I wrote, when people would say, you're an author, I'd be like, oh no, I would get really shy and I'd get really embarrassed. And I'd be like, oh shush, no, I'm not. I'm just, and it's because I didn't believe it fully. Because now it's the fourth one in, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm confident enough to say I am. And it's the same. People that always say, oh, I'm just not someone who likes to work out, or I'm just not someone who's organized, or I'm not someone who's tidy. That can all be learned. That has nothing to do with who you are as a person, or how you weren't born organized or tidy or motivated. These things can all come. You can learn these things and then have them as a skill.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, that's almost full circle to where we started, that you're not just born with these things. And if you think that person is consistent and tidy and healthy because they were born that way, that's just not true.
No,
it's not.
Not at all. Look at, there's so many influencers now, so I'm going to use them as an example. The amount of influencers that would say, oh, when I first started, I didn't think this could be anything. And then they're like, just do it. The amount of motivational speakers or highly successful entrepreneurs, podcasters that say, oh, I wasn't sure if I was going to start, but then I kept doing it. And you guys can do the same. I'm no different to you. It's true. Mm-hmm. There's no one out there that's like, we all have the tools that we need to create the life and the things that we want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. If someone is thinking, you know, I want to build these thoughts and skills into my kids when I'm raising my kids. Do you have any tips of like how to talk to kids about tasks they're doing, or, you know, ways to praise effort rather than outcome? Any thoughts on, you know, building these skills in kids as they grow up?
I'll be honest, I don't have kids. Yeah. I don't have much of a dealing with them, but I guess in terms of the psychology things that I've seen and read, it's positive reinforcement and doing it in a way that, you know, from kids from a very young age, that's when they're learning and filtering, you know, their subconscious is learning how to protect themselves but become who they are. So I guess it's teaching them habits but not making a big deal out of them at the same time. If you ever see, you know, if you're trying to discipline a child or if they make a mistake, if you're like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that, then that child is going to become fearful. And anytime they do something that might cause them to make a mistake, they're going to be so afraid. They're going to be afraid to make mistakes. And I don't know, I feel like when you think about that, maybe a lot of our generation and, you know, back in the day, the way that children were disciplined, there's so many people that feel the need to be perfect and have that sort of perfection syndrome is probably because of something like that. When they were children, they made a mistake and they did something wrong. Yeah. Punished for it. So changing that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That might help.
Yeah, for sure. If you were just to leave somebody, if somebody came into this podcast and tuned in because they thought consistency is my biggest struggle, I've never been successful at it, I need to be more consistent, what would your just kind of final thoughts be if getting started with consistency today?
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Basically summarize everything you stand for.
I'm good at simplifying, but this is like simplifying even to the more. Degree, yeah. Honestly, and it's going to sound really, really cheesy, but believe that you can do it. Like genuinely, and people say it all the time, but it is true. If you can just get yourself to a point where you're not going to let any of the doubts or any of the little things in your head stop you from being who you want to be and believing that you can be that, then you will get there. And I'm not going to go into manifestation and stuff, but I am a big believer in that. And just reinforcing this is going to happen, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, is really, really helpful. And I'll tell you why. It's completely, it's not quite related to writing the book, but for the past few years, I've just told you I've moved to London in April. And I've been saying it for about 3 years. And I knew I was going to do it, I just didn't know how. So I would tell everybody. I told my friends, I told my family, I'm going to do it. And then all of a sudden an opportunity came up and that was it. It was almost like a light bulb moment. Everything just happened, boom, 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 and now I'm in London.
Oh, wow.
And just having that belief that it was going to happen and reinforcing it constantly has got me here. Sometimes I'm still in disbelief that it actually made it happen the way that it happened. So yeah, believe in yourself and believe that you deserve it as well. Believe that you deserve to have the things that you desire, the weight that you want to be, or the lifestyle that you want. Whoever it is that you're trying to create within you, you can be that. Just believe that you can.
Because if you truly believe it, when anything pops up, it's no longer this huge obstacle that you can't overcome. It's just like, okay, I'm still going to be that person, so I'll just deal with this and keep on doing what I was doing and you're still reach my goal.
Absolutely. And I heard this, I can't remember where, but when you order something from Amazon, do you worry about it coming? You know it's going to come. You know you're going to have whatever it is that you've ordered in your hand at some point. You just forget about it. You're like, it'll come when it comes. And it's the same for this. If you're trying to become a new version of yourself and improve, don't think about the when or the how. Believe it, and then that will open up opportunities and things that you never thought you would do before, and you'll just start saying yes to things.
So, yeah. I love that. Yeah. Where can listeners follow and find you?
I'm on Instagram. I don't post all the time, but you can find me Susie Sung on Instagram. And I do have a website as well. So it's www.thelevelupmindset.co.uk. And that just has a little bit about me and all the things I do. So that gets updated whenever I do something new.
Awesome. Well, I will link to your website and your Instagram in the show notes. So it's easy to click through both. And I just want to thank you so much, Susie, for all of your thoughts today. Really good reframes of this skill that we all need to become proficient at if we want to achieve the goals we want to achieve. And I'm just grateful for your wisdom.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I do hope it helps some listeners out there. It's been lovely.
Well, that's all for today. Thanks again for joining me here on the Health Investment Podcast. I'm so grateful for each and every one of my listeners. On your way out, remember to hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode. See you next week. All content in this podcast was created for general informational purposes only by a non-physician. None of the content should serve as a substitute for professional medical advice, treatment, or diagnosis. Always consult a qualified health provider with any questions regarding a medical condition and before making changes to your diet, lifestyle, and/or exercise programs. Do not disregard any professional medical advice you have received or postpone seeking such advice because of something you heard on this podcast.